But I do appreciate the opportunity to come and be with you. And I'm sorry my wife couldn't come. She started getting sick, and they told her that she had bronchitis and laryngitis and was going into pneumonia, so she had to stay home there. But, you know, hopefully if we decide to work together, then we'll make another trip up, and you'll get a chance to meet the entire family. But this morning I wanted to talk with you about what I consider probably the most important subject that we could discuss. Now, if God came to you and said, "What would you like to have? Make any request, and I'll give it to you." What would you say? You know, that's exactly what He did with Solomon. He said, "What do you want?" Think about all the things you could ask for. Solomon said, "What? I need wisdom." He was a very young man, and he was trying to rule over the people of God. And he asked for wisdom. You know, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that God gave us this book. And if you're visiting with us here this morning and not a member of this congregation, then we want you to know that you're our honored guest and that we're here to try to help every one of us live the best possible life we can live right now and prepare for eternity. And that's kind of my goal as a gospel preacher, is to, I want to help the members of the congregation get stronger and become everything they can be and be ready to go to that eternal home in heaven. But what we're going to talk with you about this morning is how should we live our life here on this earth? You know, the Bible has the answer for every question. But as we talked about in Bible class, what happened to Solomon? You know, he had all this wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom, what else did God do? Well, He blessed him with great wealth. And so Solomon had an opportunity that most of us don't have. He was the wisest man to ever live in his time, and probably in the world except for Jesus Christ. And he had great wealth beyond anything that anyone could imagine. So he had a lot of opportunities, but what happened? Well, he got involved in marrying women, and a lot of that was for political reasons and other things, but he ended up with 1,000 wives, and they pulled him away from the Lord. Now, no one knows for sure who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, but most people believe that this was written by Solomon at the end of his life when he was trying to repent and come back to God, and he was answering the very question we have up here on the board. How do we need to live our life? What should I do with my life while I'm here? Now, every one of us is going to have to answer this question sometime in our life. And so we want to look at that this morning. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes deals with several things. Number one, what's our purpose here on this earth? What should I do with my life and my time while I'm here? What will give me contentment and true satisfaction in the life to come? You know, what's going to make me happy right now, and what's going to give me happiness throughout eternity? You want to be happy? We all do. You know, what's the world's idea? If I could win one of those big lotteries, had all the money I could want, I'd be really happy. Was that the answer for Solomon? We're going to find out. And what should we do with our talents and abilities? We've got one life to live. How do you want to live it? What do you want to do with your life? You know, every young person struggles with that. And then also, we all have children. What do we want to leave our children? So I believe Solomon was writing this book to repent to God and to give us some information that we all need. And that is, how should I live my life here on this earth? Here's where it's summed up in Ephesians 1 and 3. Or Ecclesiastes, rather, 1 and 3. What advantage does a man have in all his work which he does under the sun? That's what he's asking. What should we do with our life while we're here? And the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes is to convince man of the uselessness of any worldview that doesn't rise above the horizon of man himself. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, what's the philosophy of the world right now? You know, it's just do it. You know, they get it from the Nike commercials and other things like that. But the idea is, I'm going to do what makes me happy, and I don't care what anybody else does, and I'm just going to do what pleases me. Well, if that's my philosophy, I'm not going to find happiness in this life or the life to come. And the book of Ecclesiastes tries to teach mankind the correct relationship to this earthly life. So the design of Ecclesiastes is to show that happiness is to be had only in the fear and obedience to God and His law, which alone can give man a cheerful enjoyment of his present life here upon this earth and an everlasting assurance of happiness in eternity. You want that? You want to be happy now? You want to be happy for eternity? Ecclesiastes tries to tell us how to do that. Again, Ecclesiastes 5:18-20 that you just heard read. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labors in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. What's a heritage? It means a blessing or a gift or a benefit that you receive. And what does the world think Christianity is? You know, they think it's a straitjacket. That it's all these thou shalt nots, it's all these rules, they won't let me have any fun, and that you can't have fun and be a child of God or a Christian. Solomon here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says God wants you to do what? To enjoy your life here on this earth. What did he do? He created this world and made it a place that is beautiful and wonderful and perfectly fitted for our life here. So he said, I want you to do what? I want you to eat and drink and enjoy the good which he has created for us. And that it's our heritage. Now read the rest of this. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor. Does that sound like God is a straitjacket or Christianity is this straitjacket? He said God's designed this world so that we can be happy right now. And that's what he wants. Says, this is the gift of God. That's what a heritage is, a gift. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. What's the number one health problem in the United States today? We've got all kinds of names for it. Stress, depression, anxiety, worry. What are we all worried about? If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry. What's this say? God said, I'm going to keep you busy with the joy of your heart so you won't have time to worry. See, that's the secret. That's what Solomon was trying to give us. He said, we don't need to dwell unduly on the days of our life. Look at the big picture. Look at what we can enjoy here on this earth and what we can have in eternity. But what? I've got to know what I'm here for. So, what did Solomon do? He said, I'm going to try everything. Remember, he's got this great wisdom. He's also got abundance of wealth, so he could do anything he wanted. So he said, well, I'm going to first try earthly wisdom. What does he say? That's not the answer. He said, the more wisdom I get, the more I realize I really don't know anything. And then he said, well, I'll try every pleasure that I can imagine. He said, that's like trying to catch the wind as well. And then he laid up earthly possessions. And human labor. You know, a lot of people think, well, the job is everything. I've got to have a good job. I've got to make money. I've got to retire. I'm going to be really happy when I retire. Solomon said that's not the answer. In fact, look at what he said. All my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. Now, I'm not familiar with which malls there are around here, but let's say you go to Minnesota, that Mall of America, and you walk in there and anything your eyes see that you want, you say, I'll take that. You go to the new car dealer and say, I'll take one of every car you've got. Go to the jeweler and say, I'll take one of every piece of jewelry you've got. Now, that's what Solomon could do. He said, anything my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. Now look, I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for all my heart pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward of all my labor. He said, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all these things, but this I considered, thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. What's vanity? Empty or of no benefit. What's striving after the wind? Can you catch the wind? Can you hold the wind? What? There was no profit under the sun. So, what should we do then? Well, first of all, we have to understand the purpose of life. And there are certain things that are certain here on this earth. And we talked about this in Bible class this morning. Number one is God. So who's God? Well, number one, He's what? Our Creator. And I appreciated the prayer of Brother Fred when he talked about all the blessings, and also of Brother Jeff. What do we know? God created this world. He made it a place perfectly fitted for our life. And as we've tried to emphasize already, He wants us to enjoy. But now think about this. Look at this world and how beautiful and how wonderful and how great it functions for what God wanted it to do. What's our eternal dwelling place going to be like? When God makes a place not just for 70 or 80 or 90 years, but for eternity, what's it going to be? So, God is the Creator, He's the controller of this world, and He is the one who sustains our life here on this earth. And that's a certainty. I can't change that. I can't modify that. And we notice what, again, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 2, 24 to 26. There's nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. We've already read that. This also I've seen, that it is from the hand of God. Who's in control? Who's the sustainer of our life here on this earth? Solomon said, I know that every good thing I enjoy comes from what? The hand of God. What does that mean? God gives it to us. And He gives it to everybody. Not just you and me, but the whole world is blessed with God's physical blessings. He says, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment without Him? What does that mean? Who sustains us? Who keeps this world going? Who set up the laws that govern our activities here on earth? It's God. He says, for a person who is good in His sight, He has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while the sinner He's given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to the one who is good in God's sight. Now there's an important lesson there. What do you want from your life? What does God want for your life? What did He say here? He's given me wisdom and knowledge and joy. Now, there are actually three words used in the New Testament. We use knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The Bible, as we're trying to point out here, has the knowledge that we need to how to live our life here. When I understand what my purpose is, then I can carry out those purposes, and I'm wise when I do that. But there's another word up there. What's joy? You want to enjoy your life? God didn't say, well, I just want you to suffer here on this earth and then you can make it to heaven afterward, kind of like a life insurance policy. Doesn't do you any good till you die. That's not Christianity. God says, I want you to understand what you're here for. I want you to know how to live your life, and I want you to enjoy your time here on this earth. And He says, now everybody's not going to listen to that. Because what does the world think? Got to get more toys. Bigger house, nicer car, more clothes, bigger bank account. Did Solomon know what he was talking about? What do sinners live for? He says, they're doing what? They're gathering and collecting, thinking what? That's the answer to Lot. What's going to happen? We're all going to die and leave it to somebody else. So, Ecclesiastes 3:1. There's an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. You believe that? What's that mean? It's back to the same thing. Who's in control? Now, we think we are, but we're not. I can't control when I'm born, and I certainly can't control when I die unless I decide to take my own life. And there are a lot of other things I can't control. What Solomon is saying is there's only one person that's in control, and he set everything in order so that there's an appropriate time for everything. And then he uses 14 sonnets that we're all familiar with. He says, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Who's in control? Not me. You know, God gives me free moral agency to live my life, but I still have to do what? I've got to live it within the bounds of what God says here. Now look at this. This is at the end of those sonnets. He said, He has made everything appropriate in its time. Who's in control? Who sustains our life here? God does. And there's another point here. He has also set eternity in their heart. Is there any race of people that don't worship or have not worshipped some higher being? You know, it's not always God. They worship the moon and the sun and the stars and all other kinds of things. But why do we do that? Because God put in our heart that there's something beyond this life. We know there's eternity out there. Now, I can deny that my whole time here on earth, but when I get ready to die, I'm going to know what? I'm going somewhere else besides this earth. God set that in our heart. And so, He says, I know there's nothing better then for them than to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. That's our purpose. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all of his labor, it is a gift of God. What does God want? He wants you to enjoy life here, and He's given you everything you need to do that. He said, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it. There's nothing to take away from it. For God has so worked that men should fear Him. What does God want? He created this world. He made it a place perfectly fitted for us. He gave us free moral agency. What does He want? He wants us to respect Him and prepare for eternity. Now the second reality is what? What do we say? When we get ready to die, what do we all know? There's something else out there. Now, can I avoid death? Is there a fountain of life out there somewhere where I can live forever and not die? Well, we know that's not true. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6 says, the living know they will die. How do we know that? Because we see it on every hand. We have relatives and friends and loved ones that pass away almost every day. But the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer reward, for their memory is forgotten. Okay, what does that mean? Their memory is forgotten. You remember your grandparents? Sure you do. So what does this mean? Well, look at the rest of this. Indeed, their love, their hate, their zeal have already perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. What happens when we die? You know, I remember my grandmother, and I remember the good times that we had together, but what? I don't call her up now and say, let's go have lunch. Let's get together and visit. Why? Because I know that her life and her time on earth is over, and that there is no longer any love or hate or zeal, and we can't share our time together. And so, what this is saying is we're all going to die, and when we die, that ends all earthly activity and all time for me to prepare for eternity. And that's the seriousness of it. I've got one life to live, and that's while I'm alive here on earth. And the third one is the judgment. What's the judgment? Well, we all know that we're going to have to stand before God and answer for what we've done here on earth. Look at 3:16 and 17. I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness there is wickedness. What does that mean? God's given us all these rich blessings. Why don't men want to serve Him? Because we want to do our own thing. We think we've got a better plan than God. So is it fair for God to pass judgment on my life? Why doesn't He just do like most denominations think? He'll just let us all go into heaven and it'll be like Santa Claus. Nobody ever gets any cold. That's not what this says. God can't be a just and fair God without judgment. He said, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked for a time for every deed and every matter and for every deed is there. So because God has given us all these blessings, then we're going to have to face Him in the day of judgment. We're going to answer for the choices that we've made. So those are your three certainties: God, death, and the judgment. So, Solomon's the wisest man that had ever lived in his time. What'd he say to do then with your lot? Again, from the book of Ecclesiastes here, he tells us how to live. Now, he didn't practice what he's going to be telling you here, but he gives us some wonderful advice through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. First of all, he said, enjoy life. That's what we've tried to show you already. God has given us all these blessings. What does He want? He wants me to enjoy my time here on earth. Here's how Solomon said it, Ecclesiastes 9 and 7. Go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your grape juice with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. What's that mean? You know, the two staples of life for these people was grapes and olives and bread. So he says what? Enjoy your life, and that's what God wants us to do. Enjoy your time here on earth. Number two, be positive. Now, why? Should any group of people be more positive than you and me sitting right here today? Think about it. What's God done? He's blessed us overabundantly materially. We have everything our hearts could desire, basically. And we live in a wonderful country, and we have the freedom to live our life as we please. But we've got something even greater. We can be adopted into the family of God and have all of His rich blessings as a loving Father. So if any group of people ought to be positive and upbeat and cheerful, who should it be? You and me. So, Solomon said, be positive. Now, I like this. He said, let your clothes be white all the time. Okay, I don't know who does the laundry in your house, but are your clothes always what? So what was he saying? And let not the oil be lacking on your head. What he's saying is, don't gripe. Don't complain. Look for what's good in your life. Concentrate on the positive. You know, we can always find something to gripe and complain and murmur about. What does that do? That just brings us down. As a Christian, we need to be positive. We need to be upbeat. We need to be telling the world what a wonderful opportunity we have as children of God and what a great God we have that's going to take care of us. We need to be the most positive, upbeat people on earth. Number three, enjoy your family. Why did God create the family? Because He knew that we need what? Companions. Is there anything more important to us as we get older than our family? Now, we know Solomon wasn't exactly an expert on family. What did he do? 1,000 wives. But what did he say here? Notice some very good advice. Ecclesiastes 9 and 9. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life which He has given you under the sun. Solomon didn't say, go find as many wives as you can. What did he say? Make a commitment to that first love that you have. And make that relationship last. Is that good? Now, what do we got today? Well, everybody's got 3 wives, and 6 different sets of kids, and everything's messed up. Solomon's advice is good. Look at the rest of this. For this is your reward in life and in all your toil in which you've labored under the sun. If we'll follow Solomon's advice and God's teachings on marriage and divorce and parent and children and all those relationships that are clearly pointed out, we're going to find a joy and a happiness that the world doesn't know about. Solomon made the mistake here, but what he said in these verses are exactly right. We need to make that commitment to our husband and our wife, and they're not going to be perfect. But what we grow together and we share together so that we can find the joys of this life. And then do your best. Why? You know, what's missing in some parts of our society today? You know, the philosophy now is just give me money. If I have to live on welfare, that's okay. Just give me what I want, and if I don't have to work, I'll be truly happy. Is that what Solomon said? Look at what he said. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you go. So what's Solomon's advice? Do the very best you can with your life. When? Right now. Because what? You're going to die. Sheol here means the grave. Going to that Hadean realm where you won't have any activities. He says what? You're not going to have any activity, planning, or knowledge, or wisdom when you get there. So that means the only time I can live my life is right now while I'm here on earth. And so what do I need to do? I need to make the very best of that while I have that opportunity. And then finally, we can all quote these verses. You've heard every preacher that you've probably ever heard quote them. You probably can quote them. Now, what did Solomon say? When he had considered all, this is the end of the matter. You know, after he tried to sum up everything he said in the book, then he came to what? The most important thing I can do with my life is serve God. He said, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. What are we here for? What's our purpose? Why'd God give us this beautiful earth? Well, He wants you to live with Him throughout eternity. You want to go? If you do, you got to do something now. You got to prepare. And that means you got to fear God and keep His commandments. And then there's that second certainty, for God will bring every act to judgment and everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. Now, you don't know what I do in secret. You don't know what I think about when nobody else is around. But who does? God. There's not going to be anything hidden from God. We're not going to fake God out. We're not going to slip into heaven and through a back door. I've got to do something. So, what does it mean to fear God? Well, it's reverence at the thought of God's majesty, holiness, and justice. You know, we sometimes get the mistaken idea that I've got to be afraid of God. That's not what He wants. You know, I ought to be in awe of His power and His majesty and all of His greatness here. But I need to recognize that He is majestic, and that He is holy, and that He is just. And I need to honor Him because of that. I need to have gratitude for His loving kindness and tender mercy. And then I need to have confidence. What does that mean? In His wisdom and power and faithfulness. Well, God did what? He created us free moral agents. And so every one of us are going to choose how we live our life. So, who do you have confidence in? Can you do it yourself, or do you need God? And then, of course, the last point is that we've got to obey His will. So we've got to fear God and keep His commandments. What did Solomon say? When you've done that, you've done everything God expects you to do. So, how do you live your life? As we said, Solomon didn't always do what was right. But in the end, he says, enjoy your life, be positive, enjoy your family, do your best, and serve God. Are you doing that today? You know, those roads out there are kind of messy today. Suppose a truck hits you head on and kills you before you get home. Are you ready? Could you die confident that God's going to take you home with Him? If you can, that's what we're here for. We want to help you. And I don't know how to make it any plainer that our purpose here is to do exactly what we said. We need to enjoy our life. We need to be positive. We need to do the best we can. And we need to serve God while we have time. And if you're not right with God and we can help you in any way, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.